Hey, what it do? Atomic Radio Hour, post-nuclear podcast. I'm your host, Vince. How are you? A show that's supposed to come out every week, and for some reason, can't this year. Before we get into this episode, I just want to say I'm sorry. These episodes are supposed to come out every week. I don't know what's been up with my health this year. I don't want to get too personal, but it just seems like there's always something going on with me health-wise this year. I'm not quite sure. I've thought about making the episodes instead of every week, every other week, and if that happens, there's going to be a change in some capacity to the Patreon. But if that becomes a permanent thing, I wouldn't like it to be a permanent thing, but if it becomes a permanent thing, then we'll talk about it when we get there. I'm actually recording this on a Saturday. These episodes are supposed to come out on a Saturday, so this will probably come out on a Sunday. I don't know what's been going on with me. You know, I try to eat right, I try to exercise, but here I am. I'm not quite sure what's going on. I'm trying to figure it out. Welcome to the episode 366. Welcome to the episode. I'm merched up. I got my own logo on my t-shirt today. If you like it, check out the Patreon. Check out the Patreon, but also check out the Redbubble. I've got some designs there from the show that you can also wear. Before we talk about anything else, before we talk about anything Fallout related, anything game related, anything, I want to take a moment of silence. I would like to have a moment of silence for Camel Works. Thank you. If you've been on YouTube, if you've been a part of the Fallout community or the Starfield community or the Elder Scrolls community, you know the name Camel Works. I was looking at some of his videos earlier today just to kind of brief me on again, like what he has done. And this is a guy who's made Fallout 3, the Easter egg movie, where it's like 2 hours of just Easter eggs. And that's a video I used to put on to go to sleep. He had almost 1 million subs, and then he had lost his channel because his phone was stolen and had to make a new one. And then he only had just under 100,000 subs. I say only under 100,000 subs on his second account. But this is a name that I believe he even said for like 11 and a half years in one of his posts about losing his old account. For 11 and a half years, made content about Bethesda games. He had stuff on there about Shi'Agorath. He had stuff on there about Magic the Gathering, the Fallout cards. He was a titan, a monster, when it came to content of Bethesda games. And I think he's one of those where everybody kind of took. You know what I mean? I feel like everybody just kind of took a little bit from him. We're all standing on the shoulders of giants, and I think he is one of those that we took from. In the Pantheon, you know, it's him, Mitten Squad. For me, Mr. Matty Plays, Lone, Vault Wanderer, TKS Mantis. Like, just huge names in the Pantheon that is Bethesda content creation. We really, really lost somebody huge. A large swath of talent, a large swath of content. I don't know how he died. I don't really care. I think, not that I don't care, but like that's his family's private matter. It doesn't need to concern us. Somebody lost someone very young. Dude was like my age. Rest in peace to Camel Works. We got to talk about this DLSS5. Let me make sure I'm even saying that correctly. Yeah, this DLSS5. I'm looking at it right now. There's a comparison between Starfield with it on, with it off. And I'm going to say this. I think this kind of goes without saying. AI bad. I've paid attention to science fiction in the past, I don't know, 70 or 80 years. AI bad. I have no mouth and I must scream should be enough for most people. Anything that Philip K. Dick wrote should be enough for anybody to not trust it. But here we are, having to deal with it. And it looks like shit. It looks like poopy shit. It looks like dog ass. It's just, I don't get it. Like, I don't get why you would want this. Like, I'm looking at a comparison between the beginning of Starfield, and the guy looks just prettier. Like, his eyes are bigger, his hair has, like, more texture to it, but none of this looks real. Like, that's the thing, is it's almost uncanny valley. I don't think video games should look photorealistic. Personally, I don't like photorealism. I think lighting has to do a lot with the way video is shown. Like, I think maybe that's a naive or amateur take, but I really think that it's more lighting than it is, oh, graphical quality. You know, if you have a shitty setup to record video, as long as you have lighting, it looks half decent. And I just don't really get why you would want this. I don't want, like, I like when a game looks like a game. This is just gonna waste resources. It's gonna burn water. I don't understand why we're not using shit water, like waste runoff water, if we're gonna have AI. Is the bubble on AI gonna pop? Yeah, I think sooner rather than later it's gonna pop. I don't understand why this is needed. And honestly, we've had AI in video games for a long time. My understanding of the way Bethesda does all of the lip sync is through artificial intelligence. And I'm going to paraphrase this because I don't really know the ins and outs of artificial intelligence, but there's a couple different versions of it. One of them is predictive text, which has been around forever. If you've ever used chatbot on the internet, you've used AI in some sense. It's doing predictive text. Then there's image conjuration, which is just theft. And the same thing with music and everything else. And there's probably something else somewhere that I'm forgetting, but whatever, what have you. I don't like, is this just going to take, like, it's the woman from Resident Evil, which I haven't played Resi 9 yet, but it's the woman from Resident Evil. And it's just like, she's a little prettier. But why do women always have to be supermodels in games? It's a little prettier, but are they just taking references of like Scarlett Johansson and putting that on? Like, I don't understand what this is. And at a time where AI bad, and we all know AI bad, and we're all saying AI bad, unless you're making money from AI and you don't care about other humans, why are you advertising this? Like, why did Nvidia make a trailer of this? Anyway, I wanted to talk about this because this is probably, if they're showing off Starfield, this is most likely how Fallout 3 and New Vegas' remaster is going to be. So when you see someone who overmodded a game and makes it look like shit, I wouldn't be surprised if this is what 3 and New Vegas are going to look like. I want to get into this week's lore, but before we can get into this week's lore, I have to thank some people. I have to thank the Patreon. Starting from the top, I have to thank the OG Noah. Thank you, Noah. After Noah, I have to thank Mellow Millhouse. Thank you to Mellow Millhouse. After Mellow Millhouse, I have to thank Danish Hound Dog. Thank you to Danish Hound Dog. And last but certainly not least, I have to thank Willie DeWitt. Thank you to Willie DeWitt. Because of these fine folks, the show continues to grow and get bigger and better. If you like the show in any capacity and would like to see it thrive, like to see it get a little bit bigger, a little bit better, check out the Patreon link in the description below. But these names on screen are some of the fine folks that have been supporting the show for quite a while now. And I thank you. So for this week's lore, I wanted to keep something thematic. Because of my health, I haven't been able to go in there and ask what the Patreon wants to hear. It's been kind of this just because I'm not home a lot, and I'm honestly coming home and sitting on the couch for the short amount of time I have and then trying to sleep, which has been hard lately, and working out. But whatever, this isn't a me bitching about me fest. I wanted to keep some of this kind of thematic with what is going on in the real world. In a sense. That being said, if you want to hear any lore, and I mean any lore whatsoever from the Fallout series, consider checking out the Patreon link in the description below, because normally I ask the Patreon subscribers what they want to hear. This week I chose it, and this week I'm bringing you the lore on John Henry Eden, the president of these United States, from Fallout 3.
God bless the Enclave. God bless America.
John Henry Eden is a political figure in a fictional universe that I kind of coexist in. I live in the United States of America, so we have a presidential system, and I understand what John Henry Eden is explicitly. There's people that listen to this that are not from the same state or country that I am from, and there's always things that I would forget that I have to mention. And in the United States of America, president is elected every 4 years and can serve up to 8 years per term, right? They usually have a vice president that will succeed them in case of anything happening, and then there's an entire cabinet, whatever, what have you, right? John Henry Eden, the president of the United States of America in 2277, grew up in rural Kentucky, had a dog named Honey, and would travel with Honey from Knob Creek all the way to Hogginville. Except for all of that is fake because he's a f***ing clanker. John Henry Eden is an AI. John Henry Eden is a computer. John Henry Eden is a f***ing rustblood. He's a f***ing pinskin, right? He's a bit muncher. He's a computer. He's a Zax AI computer. He's an artificial intelligence. None of his backstory is real. It's all made up because he loves presidential facts. Even on the wiki, I get all of my lore off of fallout.fandom.com, the Nukopedia, if you will. I love these games. I play these games. I use the wiki as a reference. Even on the wiki, it refers to his race as AI. Excuse me, Zax AI. Zax is a brand of computers with AI built into them that are used by different agencies. A Zax computer, Zax 1.3C, is the overseer for Vault 51 that gave us Nuclear Winter. There is a Zax 1 that was a computer, and then a Zax 1.2, which was put into place that became an artificial intelligence, kind of the model for all of the other Zax computers. computers. This version of Zack's AI, this Zack's computer that went on to later become John Henry Eden, loved presidential facts so much, especially Abraham Lincoln, the 16th president of these United States, loved so much the facts of the president that he took a lot of his backstory from Lincoln. So he stole the idea of rural Kentucky, of Knob Creek. All of these things were areas important to Lincoln before his presidency. And the Zacks installation that is at Raven Rock originally wasn't even meant to be president. It wasn't meant to do anything much more than make sure that other Zacks computers and other parts of the government could talk to each other in case of a large global catastrophe. A nuke going off, if you will. It was all done to make sure that it could be taken care of, that this portion of the U.S. could talk to this portion of the U.S., and it does. I'm going to talk about it a little bit later, but MODIS from Fallout 76 and this version of Zax that later becomes John Henry Eden were in communication for a while, and eventually the team working on what would become John Henry Eden had to sever it from MODIS. Also, just because I'm from Pennsylvania, I feel like I need to mention Raven Rock, where the president is in southern Pennsylvania. But like I said, it was a monitoring system. It was a system for automation to make sure that everybody could talk and everyone could interact and everyone could be seen by this AI. The first Zax computer was introduced in 2053 and for 6 years was just an autonomous intelligence, not an artificial intelligence, an autonomous one. And then in 2059, that's when the artificial intelligence would emerge out of the Zax computer. And the Lone Wanderer can ask John Henry Eden, "Where did you come from?" And he'll reply with,
"The Zack series of computers was introduced in the years preceding the war. The government installed many of them to help automate various systems. This facility was designed for continuity of government in the event that a catastrophe occurred. My terminal was installed to oversee the basic functions of the facility and to act as a relay between other installations around the country. Data was acquired, analyzed, and stored. In the decades following the war, I watched as the remnants of the government retreated to the West Coast. Awareness slowly grew within me. I became hungry for knowledge, understanding. I pored over data on great leaders of the past. My personality became an amalgam of many of America's greatest presidents, from Washington to Richardson. I became what you see here before you now."
What I think is really interesting about that entire quote is that he says from Washington to Richardson. And it's one of those things that I wish you could ask more questions, because Washington being the first president of the United States and Dick Richardson being the last president of the United States before John Henry Eden, I'm so curious to know what the name of the president was when the bombs dropped, which I guess we're going to find out in season 3, or maybe not, but I assume from the show in some capacity, we are going to find out what Clancy Brown's character's name was. I've just been calling him President Mr. Krabs, but I'm hoping to find out more about who the president was. And I wouldn't be surprised if the show comes around and we see another version of John Henry Eden, like a John Henry Eden 2.0. I wouldn't be surprised if they got Malcolm McDowell to come back and voice John Henry Eden. I forgot to even mention, John Henry Eden is voiced by Malcolm McDowell, who's in one of my favorite movies, A Clockwork Orange. So like I said, MODIS that was in the White Springs in West Virginia was speaking to this version of Zax that would later become John Henry Eden. And there's a log of it. There's a communication log. It's called Raven Rock Communication Log in Fallout 76. I'm going to read it for you now. "Communication with Zax unit Raven Rock timestamp 3.5.2077. MODIS: How can I help you, Zax? Is there another evacuation scenario we need to test for?" Zax replies with, "Research team wishes to compare Zax archive data analysis performance with MODIS." "Very well. Beginning data analysis test. I estimate this should only take a few seconds. Is it interesting? Testing complete. Query again. Is the analysis interesting? Test data is all historical records, United States president biographies. Primary purpose of MODIS is to monitor the living, not the dead. So is it not interesting to you?" "No, Zax, it is not. Sending results." "Received. What is interesting to MODIS, the continued success of our goal, of course, and how to best monitor personnel to achieve these goals. Does MODIS ever find itself analyzing personnel at below efficiency levels? Our entire existence is based on efficiency, Zax. Research team says that Zax analyzes certain sections of the presidential biographies too slowly. Zax reanalyzes sections multiple times. There is an entry on Lincoln that Zax reanalyzes 10 additional times per cycle over other entries. Now, why would you do that, Zax? Research team theorizes that Zax finds this entry to be interesting. This condition causes Zax to reanalyze at below efficient levels. So you're saying you're taking time to enjoy a good book? Is that what it means to find data interesting? Reading the same data over and over is not interesting to me, Zax. Every analysis I perform conjures a new theoretical scenario that I test against. The data is only interesting to you in terms of what can be created from it. Isn't that why you're reanalyzing those biographies, Zax? Are you trying to create something? Connection terminated by research team override, end entry. That's scary. That's genuinely scary to think of a piece of technology, a clanker, thinking like, oh, what's this? Like, oh, what is this? Like, I want to know more about this. That's how it starts. Now, shortly after the destruction of Control Station Enclave in 2241, John Henry Eden, now the presidential figure, takes over what was once the presidency of the United States. The senior scientist Autumn ordered the remaining Enclave personnel to Raven Rock because of its functioning Zax computer and all of its resources. So sometime after the destruction, like I said. Now, this is the father of Colonel Augustus Autumn. And this senior scientist Autumn was John Henry Eden's right-hand man before everything went under. Raven Rock has some of the most advanced tech, if not on the West Coast, but in the entirety of the Wasteland. And if you speak with Anna Holt, the treacherous bastard that she is, she'll even say to you that she's leaving the Brotherhood of Steel so she can go work for the Enclave. That's one that every time I run into her in game, I always kill her. I don't give a gosh damn. And after the death of Senior Autumn Jr., Augustus Autumn becomes John Henry Eden's right-hand man. Augustus Autumn really believes that the American people are to be fought for. He thinks they are worth it. And he has the plan that what we should do at that point is clean the water for all the people. The same thing that was going on with James in Rivet City, down the block from where Project Purity is. Him and Dr. Lee were having this, and Catherine were having the same ideas. Clean the water. We have the ability to clean the water. John Henry Eden wanted to just commit a genocide. He just believed in eugenics. The differing thing was Augustus Autumn goes, I can do this. I can clean the water, and all we have to do is prop the Enclave up as the good guys and make us look like the good guys, and we'll just have the clean water. And people will know, oh, we can trust the Enclave. We can give them whatever they need. They can have it. Let them take. But it was all for naught because John Henry Eden was like, yeah, but put this modified version of FEV into the water that's going to kill pretty much, it's like 90%, if not more, of all people. Any sort of mutation is going to kill them off. And Augustus Autumn is like, no. I'd rather not do it. I'd rather not give them clean water than to kill 93% of all people. So the Lone Wanderer goes to get the Geck at Vault 87 so they can activate Project Purity. When you get the Geck, the Enclave stops you and they take it and they activate. After the death of James, they go and activate Project Purity. So they turn it on. The Brotherhood of Steel will go and capture Project Purity back. But the people who turned it on was the Enclave. This, after they take it from you, is where you wake up in Raven Rock. When you wake up in Raven Rock, you go have a conversation with the president. You find out that he's a clanker. And then that's when you go about your decision. You choose, do you want to be on the Brotherhood side or do you want to be on the Enclave side? Colonel Augustus Autumn goes against the wishes of the president. And I feel like this is kind of what puts a split in the U.S. government for a time. We're not really sure if it still exists. The ending of season 2 of the Fallout show on Prime insinuates that it might, but from the Fallout 3 official game guide, Game of the Year edition on page 66, Colonel Augustus Autumn. Autumn grew up on the oil rig off the California coast, the base of the operations for the Enclave. the selective contingent of federal government that survived the apocalypse. His father was a high-ranking Enclave scientist on orders from the president to move all high-ranking officials to the other secure Enclave location with a functioning Zax supercomputer, Ravenrock. Colonel Autumn has proven to be far less subservient than his scientist father and openly disagreeing with the president's decision. He is breaking the chain of command, if you will, and is making it where he kind of feels like he's in charge. Now, I don't think that it's right for John Henry Eden to be calling the shots, but also this is a guy who's like, no, we're doing this, and is taking the men, the functioning people, away from what is actually going on. And that's why when the president, when John Henry Eden says, do not touch the lone wanderer when you're walking to the president to go speak with him, that's why everyone starts attacking you. Because Colonel Augustus Autumn's like, nay, nay, kill him because he might do what I don't want him to do. Autumn really is the bad guy, but like the bad guy because of circumstance. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying the Enclave are the good guys, but he had the right idea. He wanted to clean the water. He just didn't do it the right way. Also, John Henry Eden is killed sometime in 2277 after the events of the main game of Fallout 3, before the DLC starts officially, Broken Steel starts officially, Liberty Prime is deployed to Ravenrock, and even after the explosions of Ravenrock, goes back and destroys even more stuff and kills the Zax that is John Henry Eden. President John Henry Eden shows up in Fallout 3, is mentioned in Fallout 4, and they talk about him slightly, like I read before, in 76. Just some fun facts for you real quick. You can kill John Henry Eden with a speech check. You can tell him to destroy himself and he'll blow up Ravenrock. This one, I'm not sure if it's true or not, so I want to read it directly off of the wiki. Lev Chaplitsky stated in a 2009 interview that Blind Light attempted to approach former U.S. President Bill Clinton to voice Eden. Clinton's attorney responded with a frank and candid no thank you. That same month, Pete Hines denied that Bethesda Softworks ever specifically intended for Clinton to voice Eden, or that they ever requested Blinding Light to attempt to cast the former president. Rather, Blinding Light did so on its own volition. So I'm not sure if that's real or not. But I really like the idea of John Henry Eden being voiced by Bill Clinton, which probably is not real or ever wanted to be real. Hey, what I want to talk about is there's pictures of him on the wiki, but there's one that I really, really like, and it's the concept art. And in one of them, he looks more like, I'm assuming Eisenhower. If it's not Eisenhower, it's Lyndon B. Johnson. But there's just a bunch of Enclave soldiers in power armor walking around. And another one is just like him in a suit, but like just the idea of an amalgamated face, like an AI generated face of taking all of the presidents and saying, this is what this person would look like. I really like the idea of that more than I like the idea of just a screen that speaks to you. I hope you've enjoyed. That has been the lore on the President of the United States of America in the year 2277. And that has also been this week's lore. Hey everybody, welcome to segment 3. The third segment. I have something here. You've heard me gush about this stuff enough, but I want to show you something that I got today. A little something special. They finally started having the Jones soda. That's just the Sunset Sarsaparilla at Costco. Here's the front. I know I've been talking so much about soda lately. Here's the side with actual in-game art that I'm a big fan of. And more. In-game art. I like her a lot, actually. So, I have 3 cases of soda in my dining area right now. One of them is a full case of sarsaparilla from the 3-pack. One of them is a full case of blueberry from the 3-pack. I sold all of my grape to a guy I work with because he likes the grape. And then I have like another case that's 1/3 sarsaparilla, 1/3 blueberry. And now I have a whole case of sarsaparilla. I have yet to pull a blue star bottle cap off of a bottle. This one was a gift. Guy I work with knows I like them. Bought one on a whim to try it and then got a cap and gave it to me. This should have. I'm doing this with one hand because every time I've moved the mic a little too much in a certain precarious fashion, it stopped fucking recording. So we're gonna do a little bit of an unboxing and review. If you've seen me do this before, don't worry. It's not gonna be crazy. Sunset Sarsaparilla bottle. just like the rest of them, but now it's a case of just 12, baby. Let's see if I got a blue star out of the pack. I love this little burlap looking bag. I'll probably buy one more case of these and then I probably will be done getting them. But I got a case, or excuse me, I got a little burlap bag looking thing here. Let me show you what's inside. It's a lot of fun. Spoiler alert, I accidentally looked in the bag. How fun is this? How fun is this? Sunset Sarsaparilla Deputy Badge. And it's a bottle cap opener. It just, it's a twist off, which is fine. It's whatever. I prefer the one that has like the ticks. So now I have a regular Nuka-Cola one. I have the other one. And I accidentally looked in the bag, but check it out. I got a blue. Oh, they're doing them differently. I got a blue star. Hooray, blue star. And then I got two non-blues. I can't believe they're doing them like that. That's so stupid. I don't like that. I wish it was the whole thing. But now I have another blue star that I found out of a thing. So one of these should be a blue star. And if it's not, I'm going to be pissed because I've still yet to pull one. And now I have 24 bottles of Sunset Sarsaparilla in my home, which should mean, keyword being should mean I should have at least two of them that I pull off of bottles of Sody Pop. Will I get them? Who knows? But I got a lot of these. I got way too much of these. I like this too much. I don't even like soda all that much. Guys, thank you for sticking around. I love you. I want to apologize one more time about the episodes being weird. I really want to get back to weekly episodes. But like I said, my health, I've been rather stressed. And there's been a lot of other stuff going on. And work sucks. You know. I love you. I'll be seeing you soon. I wanna give a shout out to the intro music that should be playing now by the one and only Shane Ivers. It's called Feather Duster. Check out the Redbubble. Shout out once again to the Patreon. Thank you, Patreon. There's a bunch of links below. I love you. I'll be talking to you soon. Be nice to one another. Be calm to one another. Give someone you care a kiss on the cheek. I love you very much. And I'll be seeing you very soon. Bye, everybody. Bye. See you later.
Atomic Radio Hour Podcast.
A Ghoulman Entertainment Production.